This conference will.
All right, I should have done that before I opened my little mouth. So you there, Steve?
I am still here, and we're actually in our January thaw out here. It's 60 degrees in the mountains of Northwest North Carolina.
Oh, God, how beautiful. Well, what brings you to the call today? Just the generalized wanting to get the year kicked off right? What kind of comments do you have? What kind of questions do you have? Wonderful to have you online.
I got the email, and I thought, what a great opportunity to see how things work from a little bit of a different perspective. So I'm kind of in observation mode at this point.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Just for transparency, Steve is one of my TQ masters in training from the beautiful state of North Carolina by Greensboro. And one of the thoughts that I have, especially this time of year, we're in the first couple of weeks of January. I mean, Friday the 13th, a very lucky day around here. And we start looking at our lives and we start saying, where do I want the year to go? Do I really know what I want? Do I have the power to get it? And TQ answers all those questions in spades. As you well know, it's a drill down issue, right, Steve? I mean, it's how long have we now spent getting you drilled down to a pretty good idea of what you really want for the rest of the year, for the rest of your life?
It's been a good, strong 10 weeks.
10 weeks. And so the issue becomes, how do we do that? How do we get somebody to say, this is what I really value. This is the authentic me. This is the way I want my life to unfold. And, I know there's going to be ups. I know there's going to be down. There's going to be twists and there are going to be turns. But I need to be adaptive. I need to be responsive. I need to find a better way to perform such that I actually get what I want. It would be more money, more power, better relationships, a greater connection to our spiritual values. And TQ is all of that. I mean, when you look at it, it's such a simple formula. When we developed it, it was one of those great ahas in the world. It was, wow, you know what? This is the formula that Napoleon Hill was looking for. I mean, here was a man that spent 40 years of his life in prep for Think and Grow Rich, all with the idea that he could find the holy grail that of success, a formula, a very simple formula. And he died not knowing what the formula was. He was a very good friend of a close personal friend of mine, Sir Dr. Edmund Hagi out of Atlanta. And we've talked about that he was very successful in his tapes, very successful in his book sales. But yet he felt hollow, that he could not better articulate that connection between performance and success. What was it? And when we approached this, we looked at everybody. We said, let's take 5,000 years of history and condense it. Don't just use one author. Use 250 authors and 300 authors. It's probably now up to 500-600. And what do they say? What's unique about their views? Excuse me. And that idea of success being a function of results really never came up much. It was more philosophical. Success is in our head, in our heart, it's in our hands. That's why we wrote Think TQ and Grow Rich, kind of as the counterbalance to, just one way of thinking, that success is all in our head, which Napoleon Hill was very much influenced by James Allen, as a man thinketh. And it's very much true. I mean, when you really think about where is that initial kernel, where is that initial vision? Well, it's all in our head. It's all in that noise that is setting inside of our brain someplace. Upper brain, lower brain, frontal lobe, wherever. It's just noise. And one day we get an idea of some kind. You know, maybe that idea is a really good idea. Maybe it's a really awful idea. You know, maybe it's the idea that says, you know, I can do something to raise the bar for society. I can do something material. I can do something important. And yet that idea never gets to the point of coherency, where it's just this little nagging thought. It's just this little tug at you. And in that tug is the real of our life. It's the, you know, it's the conflict that we have to embrace, that we have to embrace that confusion. We have to embrace that whole concept of being disoriented. You know, it's somehow saying, you know what, I'm sick of the status quo. You know, I need to get thrown into the fray here. You know, I need to get out there and I need to play the game. And when we start thinking that way, those random thoughts, those little snippets of noise, white noise, gray noise, things you can just barely hear through, start to materialize in our brain and they become a coherent thought. You know, you're able to articulate it. You're able to say, here is an idea. Here's an idea that I believe in. Here's an idea that will help other people. Here's an idea that will help myself grow. Here's an idea that will make me rich. You know, here's an idea that will do whatever. But you got to get to that point where you have the idea. And that's a really big problem for most people. It's because we're so absorbed in getting through the day, like, you know, by extension and prediction and, you know, going out of our way to avoid conflict, going out of our way to, you know, to abdicate our responsibility for our own lives. You know, boy, you know, the economy is going to be better. It's going to be good. Employment is up. Wages are up. You know, I'm riding the quest. Well, how long will that last? You know, another year, couple of years, you know, almost all up cycles peak at 10 years. Well, we're 8 years into this. So the economist in me would say, warning, warning, prepare, prepare, prepare. You know, we're going to crash. And then the realist in me says, yeah, you know what, you got 7 years of down cycle. So, you know, we've got time. You know, we have time to adjust. We have time to adapt. And it's in that adapting to our perceived results, you know, that what we say we want, what we think we want, versus the ones that we're actually getting. And I want everybody to kind of, you know, look at their life right now. Take out a white sheet of paper and draw a line straight down the middle. And I want you to put on the left side what I don't want. And, you know, I don't want more of this. I don't want more stress. You know, just take it out. Do what I'm telling you. You know, I'm gonna record this and I'm going to actually pop up in because it's an important conversation of saying on January the 13th, I don't want this for 2017. I don't want all this rancor and drama in my life. I don't want all these bills that just, you know, pile up. Just make the list and go down it and be honest with yourself. You know, there's no point in rationalizing. You know, and I know, Steve, we've talked about the word rationalization a lot. You know, it's what the psychologists call lying to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. Oh, it's okay because. No, I can do this. I can get, you know, I think I can make this happen. But I really don't want to. I'm not all that committed, but I can't tell people no. It's okay. No, don't rationalize. I don't want. There's the column. And be honest. Say, I don't want this. And on the other column, say, I want. The right-hand column that says, you know, I want more money. I want more spiritual connection. I want more peace and harmony in my life. How do you get harmony? I mean, you think about this, right? That's a giant word. You know, it's a word that most people, if you watch the news, you can see that this world is an absolutely evil-driven, chaotic world. You know, it's, you know, you got this guy over here in Arizona that's driving down the road, gets in an accident, cop comes to help, and a guy comes by and shoots him. I mean, what is that all about? We live over here by, you know, Palm Springs, and we watch the LA news this morning. At least four or five murders, just outright murders. And the one that broke my heart was there was a grandfather and his grandson sitting in his garage just before Christmas, and a couple of gangbangers came by and shot them both dead. All they're doing is sitting there talking to one another. This is a fundamentally bad situation we got. But you can't let it be bad. You've got to rise above that. And you can say, this is what I want. I want harmony. You know, I will do my part, whatever that part is. I will rise up to that calling. You may not say, let's get off that soapbox. You know, I want to go skiing more. You know, I was just looking at that, you know, I don't have a body for it anymore. I'm 71 years old. My knees were shot 10 years ago. But I think about, wow, 28 inches of snow, man. What a calling. That's the siren call. I want to do more skiing. Maybe it's I want to do one last run. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what I want to do this year. Maybe I want to just get in a good enough shape and get my legs in good enough shape to go down one run. Would that be a big goal for somebody? No. 10 years ago, we were skiing 4 or 5 times a week, hard stuff. But it's in our heart of saying, you know what, I want to go do that. I want more of this in my life, and I want less of this. Be honest with yourself. January 13th, by noon, fill that out. Don't just delay and say, oh, well, ER's crazy again. You know, yeah, I'm crazy. I'm as crazy as it gets, because I actually believe that people can change our circumstances in this world. I'm absolutely crazy enough to believe that the only people who will change the world are the people crazy enough to think they can. You know, it's just a quote that, you know, you know, thank God for the crazies. Let's celebrate them. And I want you to be crazy. I want you to look at your life right now and say, this is the polarizing effect of January the 13th. I want you to go down there and say, I don't want this, I do want this. And it's sort of like that book, you know, Eat This, Not That, right? And I say, I want this, I do want that. And as you go through that, you'll start to see a connection. Those random thoughts that are just the noise in your head, I can't do this, oh, I can't do that. You know, who's to say what you can or cannot do? And that comes down to whether or not you truly believe you can or can't. That's where Napoleon Hill really got this idea that success is all in your head. But one of the things that we do is we take the anatomy and go down one. We say, you know what, success is really in your heart. You know, you've got to have the passion for it. You've got to have the belief system. You've got to have that, you know, that sense of purpose that says this is something important to me. And when you have that, you've got the world. When you've got that strong sense of purpose, and but it's why we created success on purpose. And I know Steve is probably the and he and I'll chat here in a minute. Probably the perfect example. He read the book. He did really well a couple of years ago, brought it up to date, and yet there's this angst that says, I don't think I'm being authentic with myself. I think I'm just running in place. I think I am, there's something below the surface. And this is where we recommend coaching, by the way, that we recommend people that can't get through, you know, that level, you know, of the blur, of the noise, you know, to order some coaching sessions, you know, one-on-one coaching sessions. Because you got to have a breakthrough. You got to break out of that way of thinking. And sometimes it is really hard to do because it's so well ingrained. It's one of those, where did these values come from? Where did this sense of passion and purpose come from? You know, has it been that burning desire since you were 3 years old? Or were you told to like football? Were you told that you have to play football, that, you know, baseball's not it, football's where it's played, and that you've got some teacher, you've got some coach, you've got somebody that led you along, that you started living their values, that you started living what they wanted. You know, it's you know, legendary in Texas, you know, the mother that wanted to be the captain of the cheerleader, and she's got the daughter, and they're just fighting to get that girl to be the captain of the cheerleading team. Because they want to live their life out of that voyeurism. Well, that's what we are. We're voyeurs when we look at somebody else's life. Boy, I wish I had that. I wish I could do that. Well, who's to say you can't? It's, you know, if it's in your head and it's in your heart, then the only thing that's required is to move down to the hands. And that's why I told you to take out paper, not just type this thing into a computer. But take out the tactile, put a pen in your hand or a pencil, whatever you use, take a white sheet of paper, draw the line, and do it. Because now suddenly you've taken an action. Now you've got success not sitting there in your heart, in your head, but in your hand. You are writing down what you don't want out of life. You know, I don't want kinds of issues with two of our kids. I mean, just legendary. And they're ongoing. It's like I have this one daughter that is the ultimate drama queen. And it's self-inflicted. Self-inflicted. And so I don't want more of that. So what do I want? Well, that becomes a little harder. You know, how much do I want to lead? How much do I want to participate? How much? What do I really see? What is that vision that unites the what's going on in my head? You know, the anger, the frustration, the disappointment. You know, with the hope of saying, you know what? Fundamentally, this can be fixed, or fundamentally, it's going to be different. And so, what do I? You know, what is the guidance there? What do I want? So it's not enough to say column one. You know, the left column of what I don't want, it's to say what you do want. And that has to be value-based. That has to be inside of your soul, inside of the way you look at your life, so that you can say to the world, hey, you know what, this is what I want. Now the only question becomes power to get it, you know, which is what TQ really is all about. It's that power to produce exceptional results over time. It's why we take our TQ test so seriously. Right? So many people take that test and, oh, it's a throwaway. No, it is not a throwaway. It is a gold standard measurement of your ability to produce what you want in life. If you have a low TQ, you have one choice and one choice only. Improve it, because it's the only form of working intelligence that you can actually improve, that you can actually say, you know, I do need to write my goals down. I do need to have a plan. I need to focus on priority number one. I'm not even sure what that is, but I will get to it. I will figure out a way to get to priority number one every day. That I will stop doing these amorphous to-do lists. No, those don't do you any good at all. How about a to-be-done-today list and have three items on it, your three most important things? Bang it out. I got up a little early this morning, and I've got this project, and you're all going to be hearing about it for the next month, this World Excellence Project. And it's a very complicated undertaking to build the world's smartest app. An app on a phone that converts 2.5 billion cell phones into a transparent learning engine. And transparent learning has been the whole of education. It's that idea that you learn something without even knowing you're learning. I mean, think about that. Learning without knowing you're learning. Transparent learning. And the whole gist of it is we need to make a safer world. We need to have a happier world, a more content world, a more secure world, right? And that starts with you. It doesn't start with somebody else. It starts with you. You are the change that we want to see happen. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. I mean, you're going to be just adrift for the next 20 years, 30 years, whatever life expectancy you have left. And so it's time to take action now. It's time to say, you know what, I do need to learn, remember, and master the success critical skills for higher achievement. Why? Because you want to release your full potential. So the World Excellence Project is all about helping people throughout the world. Our goal is 1 billion people in 2 years with this app, Droid app, Apple app, iOS app, that are becoming incrementally smarter, releasing their full potential. But if you don't have the right ideas going into your brain, i.e. the way Napoleon Hill saw it, that, you know, ideas are things, if you don't have those ideas to begin with, you're dead in the water. You're defeated before you even start, because you don't know that there's a better way to do things. You don't know that you should even be thinking about it this way. You know, that, hey, your attitude matters. You know, your energy level matters. What have you done lately to improve these things? Which is the 100 factors of your TQ test. So when you say, I want more out of life, I want this column over here, put down at the top of that column, TQ equals 75 plus. And if you want more of what you don't want in your life, keep your TQ under 50. I mean, it's just that bottom line, bottom line. And you can either make the changes or you don't have to make the changes. If you do, you will move towards what you want. If you don't, you're going to get more of what you don't want. It doesn't get any simpler than that. So anybody that's on this call that doesn't immediately go up sometime today, log in, redo their TQ test as of January 13th, shame on you. Because we're telling you exactly what you need to do to get more of what you want. Increase your power to produce tangible results. So as I'm going through this morning, I have 22 really good positioning statements for this World Excellence Project. We hired Lisa Williams, a phenomenal athlete, to do our video, to do our little movie. You know, the explanation of what the World Excellence Project is, why it's so important, what our mission is. It's a teaching mission to convert 2.5 billion cell phones into an engine of world change. It's a big idea. You know, and what gives me the right to go do that? Well, it's just a giant idea. This is a Steve Jobs kind of an idea, or a Larry Page, Sergey Brin idea. You know, it's in that kind of thing where you say, okay, I cannot invest any more of my money in artificial intelligence that's designed to make machines smarter. No, I need to invest my money in a system to make human beings smarter about what they do. So that is the aura of this thing. So I came up with a kind of a hokey but really truthful lead-in for this. And y'all see it. I don't want to spill the beans, but you'll see it here when this goes out over the next few days. And it's truly that general idea of doing good in the world by becoming better so you can get more out of life. I mean, when you really think about excellence from that standpoint, that wouldn't it be great if our world trended more towards excellence rather than destruction, rather than mediocrity, rather than just more of this chaos? And that line that I ask you to draw down the middle of that sheet of paper, right at the top of that line or on the line, it's chaos. That's your chaos line. It's what stands between what you don't want and what you do want. And if you want to just live with chaos, why are you even on this telephone call? I would say it's okay to hang up and just tell yourself, hey, I'm okay with chaos. You know, I want more drama. I want more problems with my family. I want to bail my kids out of jail. I just want more chaos in my life. I want to go to a more unstable job. That's what we're saying to ourselves when we don't take those right actions. We're saying, I'm willing to put up with whatever life has to give us. I don't need to work smarter. I just need to be luckier. I need to go win the lottery. I need to go, the next time I see that big rainbow, well, I just need to go follow it to its end. And what I do, there's going to be a pot of gold. Everybody knows that. And, you know, it's even better if that rainbow is setting up on top of the lottery office. So I see, hey, there's a rainbow, pot of gold. I'll go buy lottery tickets. That is here's a better idea. Whoa. The Disney approach. When you wish on a star, makes no difference who you are. All your dreams will come true. And if we believe that, if we believe in that, then we have to believe that, okay, I need to be able to pick out the right star. And I'm not asking anybody here to become an astronomer. I mean, it's much too difficult. It's much too complex math to look up at the stars and say, okay, this is the right star. This is my right star. And when I wish on that right star, man, all my dreams are going to come true. But I need to figure out what star that is. I can tell you right now, don't waste your time. Look at the universe and look at that line that's the chaos line that you have to cross every single day. And that takes power. That takes mind power. It takes heart power. It takes hands power. It takes the muscles in your heart, It takes the muscles in your brain and in your arms to actually say, I'm going to go exceed through. I'm going to excel through this chaos, and I'm going to get what I want. And I'm going to make sure that I get what I want, whatever that is. Could be altruistic. I have one really, really interesting project coming up. And it's a man who has three PhDs. And his principal language is French. He's a minister in Cameroon. And in talking to this man, you could tell, number one, that he is a true man of God, a true minister, and he believes in his heart of hearts that he can be a material change in an area, Central Africa, that is just rife with every kind of problem, famine, lack of water, political instability, warlords. I mean, all of these things, and as I listened to him, I said, am I the man that can help him? There's going to be a language barrier here. He primarily understands in French. I basically flunked my mother tongue. I mean, the fact that I can write books is like a miracle all by itself. I tried to learn Spanish out here by interpreting the signs. You know, they got the good old-fashioned English signs up there, and then you look down below and see what the Spanish interpretation is. I can't even remember those. I mean, after 3 years here, I've got basically, and I'm not even sure this is right, Los Manos Lavabos. Or no, is it Lavabos Los Manos? Yes. Lavabos Los Manos. Wash your hands. So that tells you how fluent I am in linguistics. Wouldn't make a great spy. But as I was listening to this man's heart, I said, I don't have an alternative. I don't have something I can do that I would feel good about doing if I didn't help him. And I don't want to be the father of modern Africa. I don't want to be these things that he thinks that will help. I want him to become that. I want him to become the change that needs to happen there. And it's not a matter of just praying on it, but it's also a matter of taking those prayers and putting them into motion. It's to get really clear about what's possible and what's not possible. So you're getting the idea of why that chaos line is so important. And I'm on that line every day. You're on that line every day. So have at least the courage. Forget about the what I want side at this moment. At this moment, I want you to just start writing down what you don't want. I mean, you know, what I don't want is to feel guilty. I don't want to feel as if my life didn't matter. I don't want to go through the next 5 years of my life in poor health. I don't want my life to stand for nothing. And here I'm given this opportunity, and it's a horrible opportunity. You know, a lot of you people say, my God, Gary, you're being called. You're being called by God himself. Yeah, but I don't want to go. I don't want to go to Africa. You know, that's up to Kent and those guys. You know, they'll go to Africa. I don't want to go to Africa. And the very thought of having influence by remote control makes me really nervous. A lot of things can go wrong, a lot of misinterpretation. So I have to be ultra clear. And so as I was talking to Steve, I don't know, this many moons ago, we were going through this little example of, you know, how our hopes and dreams and whatnot, we write them on this sheet of paper, and then we tear them up, and we end up with these 16 sheets of paper, and, you know, it's unbelievable. It's 2.1 trillion to one that these sheets of paper will all, if you just deal them out there like a deck of cards, will all fall into the proper order, right? I've got 6 to the 16th power. You know, it's a huge number. It's a huge number. I reached over, and I picked up one of those as I was talking to this man from Cameroon. And I wrote down, slow down. That will help me achieve my goal. Just those two words, slow down. Be clear. Listen. And the conversation was a wonderful conversation. It was between two men who knew they could help each other achieve a lasting vision, maybe even peace. And I crossed that line of saying, I want to help. That's it. That's all I Yeah, I want to help. I'll figure out a way to do it later. I do not need to have a 14-point plan. I will find a way to help. So when you're doing this, right now, January 13th, we get the whole year ahead of us. How do you want that to turn out? How do you want your life to turn out? What do you want to stand for? You know, I want to stand for greater opportunity in this world. I want the World Excellence Project to blossom into a movement. Why? Because it is vital that every person, starting with you, start to do better. And when you do better, you get more. When you get more, guess what? The world is a better place. And so it's this doing good by doing better and getting more is what we all have to do. We have to cross that chaos line. You know, some people, if you believe in unions, you know, it's crossing the picket line. You know, you don't want these people going over here. We got situations with the teacher's contract right here. And in listening to it, you know, you hear both sides of it, and you say, I got a left side and I got a right side here. And they're kind of, they're on the same team, but they're coming at the problem a completely different way. And the teachers need more help. They need more pay. They need smaller classroom size. And none of that's happening. None of that will happen. I mean, it's economically not possible. And the other day, there was on television, as they cut to another segment, they have this holiday here that I've never even heard of. It's essentially a Spanish heritage epiphany. So we all know what epiphany is, you know, the arrival of the king. And they celebrate this in Mexico and Spain and whatnot. And apparently, somewhere along the line, as all good Catholics do, they have a saint for everything. Right there, and they have this saint that they that's in charge of shoes, and so the idea is all of these Catholic organizations come together in the convention center over here, and they set up these huge tables, and they all have shoes, and they've got shoes ranging from small children all the way up to 16, 17-year-old kids, and so the idea is on this day these children can come and pick out a brand new pair of shoes. And they're just wild with excitement. And we're talking about shoes, you know, what we would take for granted of saying, well, you know, that's not very remarkable that, you know, these kids would wait in line for 2 hours to get a pair of shoes. And this one little boy came out. He was probably 10, maybe 11 years old. And I was watching him, you know, the beaming on his face. He's got this pair of white tennis shoes, and he's just so happy. And the news anchor said, Mario, why are you so happy getting shoes? And he looked the camera, and this is the words only a child could come up with. Because I don't want my mom to waste money on me. To waste money on me. I mean, think about this. Shoes wasting money on me. And he was elated that he had a pair of shoes in the United States of America, in California, the richest state in the union by far, in Palm Springs, California, one of the richest communities outside of Beverly Hills. This kid doesn't have shoes. And then they cut to a segment that, did you know that 80% of all the kids in the Palm Springs High School live below the poverty line? Staggering. Live below, in Palm Springs, California, that 80% of the kids over the Palm Springs are below the poverty line. And so it's these wake-up calls. So what do you want to do about it, right? I want to volunteer more of my time this year. I want to go out, and I will, in fact, just as a result of seeing that, I will go and get 2 dozen shoes next year for whatever that Cap Diaz, the shoe holiday, whatever it was. I can't even pronounce that, by the way. I will go get shoes. I will give shoes simply because they touched my heart. Is it going to make a huge difference in the world? No, absolutely not, but it's going to make a difference to a child. And that's all that it needs to be. So I'm going to open this up. Steve, what's your takeaway from this? You talk a little bit.
Well, thanks, ER. I think you kind of really summarized a lot of what we've done in the last few weeks, and especially the I don't want versus the I want reinforces how important it is for me to have expectations and to have very clear expectations that point to the direction of where I want to go. In all that I have read from PQ, I see a reoccurring theme, and that is that a lot of folks don't ever feel like they can achieve that goal, make that difference. It's a mindset thing. And until they get out of that mindset, until they set those high expectations, until they've developed that, here's what I want to do list, and then actually go out and start doing it, then they do fall into that inertia of mediocrity, where it's the same every day. We long for things, but we can't really ever seem to get off the ledge. And I get that. I feel that, because it is frightening to know that you're going to take a step off the ledge, and you might not know exactly where you're going. But once you've made that first step, you know, and that's kind of what I've really felt with TQ, it's giving me the power and the enthusiasm to take that first step toward those high expectations. And so what we've talked about, or what you've talked about this morning, is really framed that nicely.
I appreciate it. You know, it's true that all TQ just comes down to four words. I mean, you can read, we probably got 100 books, including the workshops and whatnot, thousands of pages. Comes down to four words. Expect more, execute better. And when you do, everything changes. It is though in that rising expectations that's the kernel of success happens. And so as you're doing that I want side, raise your expectations. It's what Joel Osteen calls expanding your vision, chapter one of his book. Expand that vision. Fill up that right side with what you want. And you'll start to diminish the what you don't want. And recognize that. You know, one of the things, and we'll go to a few other people to see if they got any questions. When we created TQ, we had no idea what the drivers of success were. None. I mean, that's the idea of allowing the variables to rise to the top. You know, it's called multi-way differential equations. And so when you don't know what the driving force is, you know, is it, you know, somebody's got to have this really incredible ability to act now, team building, leadership skills, positive attitude, and high energy, and that's it, and they become successful, or is it more deep than that? Well, we found it was actually more deep and more simple, because we found that there was an extremely, extremely simple answer to why people succeed and why people fail. People fail for one reason, and I mean just one reason, and that is they fail on the expectancy side. The reason people fail is they don't expect to succeed in the first place. And you can write that down. You can bet your life on it that with hundreds of millions of data points we have at TQ, it proves it every single day. People with low expectations fail. You're not going to succeed if you don't expect to succeed in the first place. And the reason people succeed is they expect to succeed because they get themselves to that starting point for real success. They work their way to it. So it's not a matter of just simple success by osmosis, you know, which we all hope for, that, you know, somehow I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. I'm going to be in Silicon Valley on the same day that they invent the next Apple computer or the next Facebook. I'm going to be smart enough to go borrow $200,000 and put it into this company called Snapchat. I'm going to be smart enough to go and do the next Spanx. You know, Sarah Blakely, an old TQ customer, the youngest female billionaire, self-made billionaire in the world. Doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter because you're not going to get there. You're going to work your butt off to the point where you get a chance at the gold ring. You get a chance to make your dreams come true. And that's an expectancy issue. But if you don't expect it to be successful, it's not going to be successful. It's not really a belief issue, it's an expectation issue, which encompasses the belief and the goals and the plans you set and the attitudes that you have, the mission that you have. It's all in those first five colors of the time prism. That's what sets your expectations. Then, and only then, do you even look to execution. And we always set people on TQ, especially in coaching, let's take a real healthy look at that ratio of expectations over execution, because it's what controls your success. And what we've found over the years, again, is that people are far more capable at execution than they think they are. You know, we see people 7 on execution and 2, 3, 4 on expectation. And so they wonder why, boy, I've got this education, I got these skills, I'm in really good shape, you know, I can go do anything, I just don't know what to do. And their success collapses back to a 3/3. It doesn't rise up to a 6/6 or 7/7. It just fails. And they look at themselves 20 years later. Women will ask the question, if not now, when? When is it going to be my time, right? When do I get a shot at the gold ring? When do I become that person? And a man, you know, sometimes around 45, 47, asks a totally different question. Is this all there is? Is this all there is? I have worked my butt off for 25 years in a job I don't really like with people that I can't stand, earning a buck or two, and is this all there is? This is what I got for the 20 years of my effort? Maybe it's time to wake up and look at that sheet of paper and say, I don't want that anymore. I want to spend 20 years in something I don't like doing. Or even worse, how about this one? I don't want to spend 20 years doing something I'm not even that good at doing. Why not go do something that you're good at doing, that you love doing, whatever that is? I can't tell you what that is, and only you can find that out. So, you know, one of the things that I would recommend, anybody on this call, go to thinktq.com/mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R, and the number one, numeral one, and initiate a free coaching call. You know, we've got a couple of guys that just are newly minted TQ masters. I'll pass them on. And talk to somebody about this. Take that list, you know, take that sheet of paper and say, you know what, my life is not working the way it ought to work. You know, maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe it's time to get involved with my own life better. And not from a theoretical standpoint, but an actual standpoint, where at the end, you no longer have to rationalize your life. You don't have to lie to yourself and lie to the people around you. Well, I could have made it. I just was never that interested in it. Well, if you could have, should have, and would have, you know, why didn't you? I mean, it's really that big question that we have to ask in the first month of the year. You know, next month, you know, another month goes by. Is it over? No, it's not over. You know, we see people have amazing results in the last 3 months of the year when they're totally committed to what they're doing. We can play catch up. I mean, it's like, you know, looking at that Clemson-Bama game. They gave them too much time. I mean, that coach who gave 2 minutes is an eternity in football. It's what won the Broncos 2 Super Bowls in a row. When you give Elway 2 minutes to play football, are you crazy? He will score and he'll score big. And as a matter of fact, he can score twice in 2 minutes. They're that good because you gave him 2 minutes. You can't do that if you want to win a game like that. You know, highly contentious, really good people. Well, you can't give away 6 months of your life here. No point. But anyway, that's what I have to say. Steve, I really enjoy you being on the line. Let me see who we have here from area code 440. Who would 440 be? I just unmuted you.
Hi.
You want a question? Hi.
Great, great conversation.
Well, appreciate it. Where do you fit on this I want, I don't want scale?
It's been quite a never-ending battle throughout my life.
Isn't it? It really is. It, you know, it's crossing that chaos line that is so difficult for all of us. You know, at any point, I'm going to give you some good news here, right? I'm not a saint. I'm not the saint of shoes or the saint of success. I'm a sinner. I have the same problem. You know, in any given month, I'll bet the I don't wants, that side of that equation is vastly more than what I want because we get stuck, you know, in that the vortex. I don't want this. I wish it could be better. Oh, man. And so my point is there's hope. What one thing do you want this coming year? What, you know, that you were going to put there in capital letters with underlines, underline, underline, underline. What is it you want?
Well, I got to stop self-sabotaging. Pardon me. Just dropped my headset. I have to stop self-sabotaging.
That's a big one. I mean, that's moving it, saying I don't want to self-sabotage, and I want to stop self-sabotaging. So you got the dual whammy there, kiddo. I mean, that's a good one, right? It's why take the gun out of the holster and, oh, no, I shot myself in the foot. Oops, I did it again.
Correct. And I think it's a lot of times that you can have old scripts that you aren't even recognizing that are playing in the background.
Oh, absolutely.
And
that's the awareness issue.
That, right, that are so insidious. And it's and then I think it allows me to somewhat excuse myself for not accomplishing what I want, or fear of failure, fear of a success, whichever way you want to look at it. And so it goes.
You know, that's a really good point. Keep in mind that last year, I think the best baseball player, and I could be wrong in this number, they were batting 375, 378, which basically means that out of 1,000 times at bat, they only succeeded 370 times, which means over 600 times they struck out. They didn't get on base.
Right.
And
right.
So we look at that and we say, oh, man, why would we pay a failure like that, you know, and get on base 600 times? Well, why are we paying him $20 million? Well, because he got on base 378 times, you know, which is a big deal. You know, if it's football or soccer or you're an executive, you are going to fail more times than you succeed.
Right.
Without question. And so, you know, it's what my friend John Maxwell calls failing forward. You know, pick yourself up, resolve not to do that again, learn something from it, take something from it, and keep moving, right? And say, wow, you know what? Yeah. And so when you fail, let me ask you a real simple question. How long do you stay down?
Not long. I'm a firm believer, one foot in front of the other, and I don't want to look back. It's just that I've been rather successful.
Yeah.
But rather successful.
Well, that's the key. Right. Most of the success
successful.
Is getting the back up, right? Most of the success is, boy, they just knocked me on my butt. I'd better get back up, as opposed to lay there and cry my wee beady little eyes out on my great gargantuan pillow. Well,
normally,
okay.
Getting right back up. It's just that making better choices, doing better homework, you know, due diligence, things of that nature, or
sure.
recognizing the projects that I'm taking on, the scope of them, making it more manageable, other people that I can bring into the projects, you know, really thinking it through and doing a better job.
You know, and it's that quality issue, you know, that when we talk about excellence, it does come down to doing the better job. You know, it's the word excellence is a really big word. And I mean, it's a huge word that most people kind of shrink away from. You know, it's a buzzword for corporations. You know, we're committed to excellence. Our entire team is committed to excellence. Well, in doing this World Excellence Project, you know, I thought it would be really interesting to have Kent and I and Tim and Mark and, you know, these are some really successful, very, very smart people. I think excellence actually means. Oh, well, yeah, don't do this again. Don't come up with another reason. No. What does excellence mean? Not just the dictionary definition, but what does it really mean? You know, what are we trying to accomplish here to bring excellence across the world? And so, like all things TQ, there's not a simple answer. I mean, you just don't go to the dictionary, look up in the thesaurus, right, and say, oh, well, this was it, right? Well, I came up with three things, and we got agreement very quickly, so they must be the right three things. The first one is a quality. You know, it's a high standard, right? It's the, you know, looking at the things that you do through the highest possible gold standard. So it's a quality issue. It's also an issue of power. You know, it's actually producing up to the expectations, and that's a power issue. So excellence implies a great deal of power to have control over something, because that's how you end up getting to the first one, quality. And I added a third, and I said excellence really is a statement of love. It's a statement, and it's not a philosophical love. But if you could go back and rewind old commercials, remember back in the day the Hallmark commercial, when you care enough to give the very best, that's love. You know, that's the I love you enough for me to show up. I love you enough to do my very best, to become the best version of myself. That's not just a quality or a power issue. That's a statement of our love for one another. It's a statement for our love of self, right? That I want to be the best possible me. That's a loving myself issue. And so, believe it or not, we wrote this up, and I've never had agreement. I said, okay, is there something else? Was there some aspect of this that I missed? Because if there is, I need to know about it before we go and put people on the road speaking, doing TED Talks, getting our Lisa Williams engaged with media. Is there something else? And after a week of, you know, kind of intermittent discussion, we couldn't come up with anything. We, you know, said, yeah, it is a statement of love, that when we care enough about others to give our very best, that's excellent. And it's just that clear statement of excellence on a personal level. It's also that I have the power to achieve the right outcome, that it's a power issue. You know, you don't have excellent companies that don't have power. Apple has real power. They have power because of excellent design and excellent execution, excellent vision. All of these things are a power issue. And then you have that final one that, you know, is the quality, you know, which most people would say excellence means the highest standard possible. That, you know, when I built in quality into my belief system, into my methodology, when I really stand for something of high quality and I don't accept mediocrity, that would be excellence. That's something for y'all to think about. You know, did ER miss one? If I did, you send it to me, because I'd really like to know before we go out there and spend a year convincing people that excellence will cure the problems in this world. That if we can just shift it a little, you know, it's this logarithmic change that you know, we look for, those fulcrum points of saying, okay, we're at a tipping point. We can go either way. This world, the environment can go either way. War can go either way. Inner city violence can go either way. We've got to find a way to make it go more to the right and left to the left, less to the left. And so that becomes our, you know, our standard, if you will, our standard bearer. You know, it's that quality, it's power, and it's that divine love of one another that is really our expression of excellence in the world. Any other last comments? I will go down the next one here. Area code 614. Who do we have at area code 614? I just unmuted your phone. Comment, suggestion, question?
Hi, are you after food from Australia?
I cannot hear you.
Oh, I'm Christy from Australia, yeah.
Yeah, you're coming in really, really broken up. Oh.
Hi, it's Christy from Australia, yeah?
Oh, great. How nice to talk to you.
Hey, how you going?
Beautiful.
That's the way. I'm really interested in your analogy of belief versus expectation. Can you give me a brief description there of your thoughts?
Well, expectations are hard to create. You know, we all look to, you know, going through the day, right? And we don't really give thought to what we expect to see happen. You know, we wish things would happen. We hope things would happen. We're on autopilot. We're living out of prediction. You know, I did it yesterday. I'm going to do it the same way today. We live out of extension. That's a word where, you know, we just keep dragging the past into the future. You know, it's like concrete blocks. You know, you pick one up last year and pick a couple of them the previous year, and you're trying to drag 2010, 2014, 2015, 2016, now into 2017. So we're living out of that desire just to extend what we're doing because it's easy to do. Expectations, on the other hand, are a real serious issue. And they're an issue of saying, this is what I expect to see happen. And an expectation, by definition, is probabilistic, right? That there has to be some probability of that happening in your mind. So when you say, I expect to eat fish tonight, and you're out in the middle of the woods at a lake, well, you better expect to catch fish. Now, if you're in downtown Sydney and you go walking down there and you say, I expect to eat fish, and you see a fish sign that says fish market, well, you can walk in and have fish. It's not that simple in our life, however. It's a matter of looking at our missions, you know, our true missions in life, our calling in life, and saying, how do I do more of that? How do I learn how to expect those good things to happen? How do I expect that right thing will just happen the right way at the right time for the right reason? And we start to recognize that we're the one in control of those expectations, that we have the power to build an expectation. It's why inside of TQ, the first five colors, you know, your energy, your mission, your attitude, your goals, and your plans really set your expectations up. Then you've got these other ones. You know, I prioritize my steps. I synergize with other build teams. I get organized. I optimize my time, and I take action. That's all on the execution side. And where you have perfect balance, you know, where your expectations are 8 and your execution is 8, big things, good things happen. When your expectations are 2 and your power to execute is 8, you're just frustrated. You've got all this power and you're just sitting there waiting for something to happen. So expectations are one of those, you know, one of those big words, and again, sort of like excellence, where expectations are formed by getting to the starting point, getting to that, what we call authentic direction, so that I know that I'm going in the right direction. And when I say I know I'm going in the right direction, that's a big deal. Because most of us don't. Most of us equate circular movement. You know, I turn this way, I turn that way, I go to the right, I go to the left. And somehow we hope to get from here over to yonder. And we never do. And then we get frustrated. Why is that? You know, why didn't we get there? Why didn't we get what we expected? Because there was no probability of it happening. Because it wasn't based on sound decision-making theory. It was based on a whim or a fantasy or a wish. We have in this country years ago, a friend of mine, genius actually, MIT graduate, double doctorate, one in math, one in physics, worked for Ball Aerospace there in Boulder, a good friend of mine, lived up the hill. And we got talking about you know, how people get themselves into a trap, you know, how they work really, really hard, you know, maybe in a business, for example, and they work insane hours, you know, 12, 15, 18 hours a day. And at the end of a month, at the end of 6 months, they're no closer to a real goal than they were when they started. And they burn themselves out. They're stressed out, burned out, running on empty. And Carrie asked me, he says, you know why that actually is? And I said, well, yeah, because they don't have clear expectations. But why don't they have clear expectations? And I said, well, they don't really have a good sense of mission and purpose. He said, that's absolutely correct. He said, at MIT, they created an entire course study, math, really complicated math, called logical incrementalism. And it's just what it sounds like, logical, you know, forthright and logical, incrementalism, things happen in increments. And so this was all designed to influence decision curves, decision making. And the conclusion was that if you do not start at the right spot to begin with, every single decision you make thereafter could be perfect, the exact right decision, the exact right time, and you're going to still end up in the wrong place. Why? Because you didn't start at the right place to begin with. So expectancy really has this implied starting point for success, what we call success on purpose, that starting point for happiness, satisfaction, and significance. And doing that work gets you to that starting point, gets you to that point where we start to say to ourselves, yeah, I get it. This is the right platform for me. This is the right starting point. So now I can start making these decisions off of that starting point. So when we do that, we would say that we have very high expectations, that we expect to see it happen, as opposed to I wish it would happen, I hope it would happen, I plan for it to happen, I have aspirations it would happen. All of these other words, nice words, right? I'm truly a wisher, by the way. You know, once again, a sinner, not a saint. You know, I wish I had $40 million. I wish I had, you know, we've got 5 kids, 9 grandkids, and 5 great-grand. I wish the family was in harmony, that we all sang in harmony, 3-part harmony. I wish that would be true. But there's no wish fairy that's going to come down and anoint me in such a way of saying, ER, we heard your wish. Now, everything is fine. Everything's fine. No, it just doesn't work that way. Or at least for me, it doesn't work for that way. And another million of my customers, it doesn't work that way. We have to work clutching tooth and nail to work our way so that we really know what we want, what we really expect to see happen. So if on the right-hand side of your white sheet of paper, you look at that and say, down there, here's what I expect. An expectation is born from a promise. It's the I promise to make all these wants come true. I have a reasonable expectation that they will. Why? Because I'm willing to invest time, money, resources, training, skill building, all of the things team building, all of the things necessary to make those expectations real. Otherwise, I'm just lying to myself that at the end of the year, so I didn't get those. Why not? I don't know why not. Just, you know, this didn't come together. Luck didn't happen. My horoscope failed. I worked my butt off, but it seemed like I was working on the wrong things most of the time. This is where, by the way, small businesses fail, because they have this tendency of wanting to protect their idea. And it's in that protection mechanism of saying, I've got this idea, I'm going to start a store, I'm going to start a whatever, you know, whatever it is, I'll get some new technology. And they delude themselves into expecting one thing but getting something entirely different. And so the issue becomes, were those good expectations to begin with? Were they the kinds of things that really added up to a true expectation with a high probability of achievement? So if you look in the dictionary, that's what the definition of expectation would be, right? A high probability of achievement. In our day-to-day life, we only get what we expect to get. You know, if we expect good things, we need to put good things into our life. It's what my friend Dr. Rick Hansen calls taking in the good, you know, overcoming this horrible, horrible genetic deficiency we all have called negativity bias. You know, it's our survival instinct. It's in our limbic brain. It's something that we have no control over. It's been put there by hundreds of thousands of years of genetic patterning, and it's all designed to keep us from harm. So we lower our expectations rather than go out on that limb of saying, boy, you know what? If I could just go out a little bit further, things would be better. It'd be like a logger. If you've ever get a chance to go up to Northern California and watch them log these big redwood trees, they're giant trees. And you see these guys go up there, you know, they just scurry right up the outside of that thing, you know, 200, 300 feet in the air. And there they are. You know, they don't even think anything about it. You know, it's so natural that they expect to get to the top and not fall off the tree. Why? Because they have the skill, they have the training, they have the safety gear, they've got all the stuff necessary. So that's what we need. We need in our life the gear, that starting point of saying, you know, I want to be a logger. And I would guess that most of those people up there love the outdoors. They love living by the Pacific Northwest. They love that idea of smelling the wood. They love the idea of hunting and fishing and doing whatever they do, simply because that's what they want. They want to be a logger. And if you were to ask anybody, say, well, you know what, I'll give you a full scholarship to Stanford, and you can become a... you know, we tested your aptitude, and you can be a cubicle slave over here at Google. How's that sound? You're going to make three times the money. Well, okay, so when am I going to go fishing? Well, you're going to have to give up fishing. What am I going to... I like to go hunting. Well, no, Google, you know, we don't do a lot of hunting, you know, because you're going to be down by Stanford. You know, but you're going to be paid. You're going to be a rich guy. Okay, so well, I'm already rich. I climb trees for a living. I drink beer with my buddies. I go hunting with my buddies. I go fishing with my buddies. I'm not going to go take that. I'm not going to go do that. And so they're already successful. And they got there through hard work, through dedication, through trial and error. I guarantee you, anybody that's been on any of those trees, that's ever climbed trees, know you're going to have a broken leg, you're going to have broken arms. When we were skiing all the time, one of the true expectations was we would go up early in the morning from Boulder, Colorado, and we'd go up to Eldora. And about this time of year, there's lots of fresh snow. And so you can take the bus up there. It's a 25-minute ride. You get up there, you get on the lift, and if you go left, you're on a nice blue run. If you go to the right, you're on just a really nice green run. And if you go forward, you're going down into the bowls, which is a lot more challenging. And I will guarantee you that 100% of the time, come 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you take that nice, easy green run called windmill, going all the way down, you're going to hit a spot pretty wide, but it's a spot that will be sheer ice because the sun shines in such a way that it melts the top level of that snow. And when the sun moves over the horizon, the next thing you know, you got ice again. So you had better expect to be able to ski out of ice. Now, I can tell you the surprise factor of it. I have 3 broken ribs. I have a dislocated shoulder, and I was a good skier. And it was just like, okay, you're coming hell-bent for election down that slope, and you know you shouldn't be going that fast. You know that it's coming up. Expect ice. But we lose that expectation because it's so fun. It's so nice. I'm a glider. It's the last run of the day. And you only get hurt during your last run of the day. Why? Because it's the last run that you can ski. You got hurt. And so we go through our life that way, that we don't really expect these things to happen, and they do. We don't expect the good things to happen because we're not prepared for them. And so that issue of true expectancy is why we start out all TQ with expect more, execute better. To answer your question?
You certainly do. Thank you.
And sometimes, you know, what I'm noted for is when somebody asks me what time it is, I'll tell you how to build a Swiss watch. But that was a really important question. I mean, a really important question. Because so often we don't understand the difference between expectancy and all these other words that guide our life. And I am really glad you asked that. Well, let me see here. We're running over a little bit. I'm going to go one more call. Here's one of my favorite airplanes right here, 707. Who do we have at area code 707? You get the last say of the words.
707, are you talking about me, buddy?
I'm talking about 707. Come on down.
Listen, man, you're a freaking genius and a true student as well.
I appreciate it. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking to?
Well, since you don't recognize my voice, this is James Gilmore from Sacramento.
Oh, James, sure. Yeah, no, wonderful to talk to you.
Yes. you knocked it out of the park, buddy. Passion, crusade, energy. I'm glad that I pushed past my line of chaos to get on the call.
You're a brilliant man, James. And you hit it right. It is crossing that line of chaos, and that can mean, you know, dialing into a phone number, right? Showing up. You know, so often we just don't show up because we never cross that line of chaos. You know, and I know you're a heartfelt man of God. You know, think about where we would be in this country had Martin Luther not crossed the line of chaos.
That's profound. And of course, my line of chaos was pretty nasty. I call it Buddha nasty. It's like, why in the hell should I get on the call when I paid $100 for the 100-day challenge thing 6 months ago, didn't do squat diddly? Why in the hell should I get on a call talking about the basics? And I had to push through that to get on the call this morning.
Yep. And so often that's true, you know, because we want to write the check and then we want to be fixed. I mean, we all go through that, right? I buy this product, whatever it is, weight loss product, strength fixer, whatever, and there it sits. And we feel better because, well, we went ahead and we crossed that chaos line just a little bit. We put our foot on the other side of it, and then we pulled it back. And suddenly you start to see, geez, I'm getting all the stuff I don't want in my life, as opposed to all the things that I want. Maybe I should participate. Maybe I should actually engage. And that's one of those where it's a personal choice. You know, do I want to invest the time and energy and effort to become that person I know I can be? And that's what you say when those thoughts go through your mind that way.
Because yeah, that's great. You talked about paid $100 to get fixed. It's worse than that. It's like pay $100 and have a magic wand, and I go to sleep unfixed, and I wake up the next morning, I'm fixed. It's the magic wand.
I'll give you, and I'm going to go with this one. I'll give you, if you can find me that magic wand, I will give you $1 million cash yet this afternoon. All you have to do is bring that magic wand down here, you know, fly down to Palm Springs. I'm sure they've got a Air Alaska flight. You take that magic wand and you bring it to me.
I'm 65. I turned 65 since we talked last. In 65 years, I haven't found it yet, so I'm not going to take you up on that offer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we can go out looking for Aladdin's lamp. We can go look for the genie. We can go look for that magical star, the magic wand, the magic flute. How's that? I mean,
yeah, the magic carpet, all of the magic items.
Oh, yeah. It's all magic. You know, it's all magic. And it's great if we know we're being entertained. One of the greatest Broadway plays I've ever seen in my life is Pippin. And, I mean, it's so amazing that you can't even begin to even imagine it. I mean, it's unimaginable. Pippin, P-I-P-P-I-N.
And, P-I-P-P-I-N. Okay, yep. Great. Well, listen, before you go to... Go ahead.
Yeah, go up on YouTube and watch a clip called... Morning Glow from Pippin, and it starts with this idea that, well, the whole idea of the play is this ordinary boy on the way to becoming extraordinary. And what's really neat about the play is these are all acrobats. It's sort of like a Cirque du Soleil, but so much broader, so much richer, because the story is rich as well as the music. And so the story is told about this young boy's journey in his imagination. And he wants to be a king, and he wants to be a warrior, and he wants to be a peacekeeper, and all of these conflicts that he goes through. And ultimately what he chooses is the extraordinary inside of the ordinary. He finds this woman, he finds happiness and peace, and he becomes the man he expected to be. The music is sensational, but this woman, I don't know if you have ever seen her. She's a black woman, really skinny, called Patton Miller, and she's won 3 Tonys, and she was the narrator in this, and she comes out and she says and sings a song, "We Have Magic to Do Just for You," and this thing opens up. I mean, it's like, you know, you have no idea what to expect. You know, the curtain is down, and here comes this woman, and she's standing there, and she's jet black in a jet black outfit, and her hands are out, and she says, "We have magic to do just for you." And the curtain goes up, and you see all of these acrobats and all of these jugglers and all of this stuff going on. It's the most produced show of all time and the most phenomenal music. And the point of it is that every day we have magic to do. We are the magic wands. We are the people that wave that wand in our life and say, you know what, from the morning glow on, we have magic to do.
That's great. Listen, before we get off, you mentioned 3 things, which you said them, and I need to write them down again. You mentioned about the free coaching, and you mentioned about redoing the questionnaire. So what's that website real slow to go to request the free coaching?
Go to thinktq.com/mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R-1, and it's a numeral one.
Okay, you
mentor
said
one. Yeah, thinktq, T-H-I-N-K.
Okay, that's part of this.
thinktq.com.
.com.
Slash mentor one.
Mentor one. Also, you mentioned something about redoing the questionnaire.
Yeah, just sign in at thinktq.com, and you'll see, you know, your test off to the right-hand side there. Just click on the color, and go reevaluate it.
Okay, great.
What
and then the last thing is...
What was your score? What was your score when you took that test the first time, a year ago?
No, you don't want to ask me that on a public call like this.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter whether it was 2 or 20 or
whatever it was. I don't remember it, and I'll you know, when I do the test again, it'll probably be same as it was before.
Well, let's get that up, whatever it is.
Yes, it's definitely not 75.
Good man, let's get it up to 75.
Yeah.
That's your
and then
put that on the right on the right column there. I want my TQ at 75 plus.
I've already wrote that down. So the last thing for me is when is the replay of this call coming out?
I'll try to get that up over the weekend. I'll try to get that up maybe Saturday, tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Okay.
And everybody get notified. Hey, guys,
thanks
it's
so
way late. I appreciate appreciate all the conversation. I'm got another meeting in 7 minutes. So, James, Stephen, Chris, everybody, have a happy New Year, and let's go knock it out of the park. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye bye.